What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show with joy by my Facebook friend and friend of the show, Coach Andre Gray, Eastern State University out of CIAA, doing big things. Coach Gray, good to talk to you, man. How you doing, brother?
Boss Man, thank you for having me, man. I'm excited. Got a really, really good group of players up here, so I'm bouncing off the walls and ready to start competing.
I hear that, man. I hear that. So let me ask you, man, how does it feel being in year two now, leading this program and for you get kind of getting your feet wet, knowing the lay of the land now? So how's it been, man?
It's been great, man. ECSU is a really, really good spot, man. I've be totally honest. Everybody know me as Mr. North Carolina because I've worked in this state for so long and 26 years now. You're 26 in the state of North Carolina. But I didn't know a ton about this school prior to coming up here. Had a chance to talk with the chancellor, Kerry Dixon, about the opportunity. And to be totally transparent, that's what made me do it. Her vision for the program, she seems to be really driven for student success. And that's something that I can relate to and connect with. And so I was super excited when she told me about the opportunity. And then James DeBose, the AD, we actually crossed paths at Winston-Salem State prior to this. And his vision for the program and wanting us to try to put the school on the map got me excited about it. So I'm fired that they gave me an opportunity, and we're going to try to do right.
Now, for you, what's been the biggest difference for you from year one to year two? I know it's usually that year trying to figure things out, lay the land. So how's it been going from year one to year two, man, and just trying to figure things out, man, for you, how the program has grown in your opinion?
Yeah, year one was crazy because I came in here. I replaced a Hall of Famer here. I replaced a guy named Sean Walker, who was a phenomenal coach, phenomenal player here. He laid a really good foundation for the players that was returning. The hardest thing year one was trying to make sure everybody understood that now that I'm here and we bringing in some new guys or whatever, that we all one program. I try to make sure I beat it across the head that, hey, this is you all my guys. I'm going to protect you all, love you all, just like I recruited you. I don't care who recruited you. We're going to try to play the guys who are going to give us the best chance to win. And whether you play or don't play, I'm going to treat everybody the same. And that was probably the biggest challenge last year, trying to get them all united and on one page. We did have a, you know, I guess a fairly successful year, not up to our standards, but, you know, I think we show that we're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. For year two, it's a little bit different now because you have some guys that was I inherited, some guys that I brought in year one, and now we got some guys that we brought in year two, and trying to mesh those personalities is going to be our challenge, is getting everybody on the same page. And if we're able to accomplish that, if we get everybody locked in and playing together and buying into the greater good, we in for a special season, in my opinion.
And Coach Gray, for you, man, do you feel like with this portal NIL stuff piece, you've been able to get better high school guys that getting overlooked now and getting to commit to you now because they're not getting the offers at the lower D1 level or things they thought they may get? They can come play for you, CIAA. You're still some competition. And if you put out good talent and good film, guys will find you.
Yeah, I try to look at it a little bit different, to be honest. I just try to recruit basketball players. I don't care if you're 18 or if you're 25, but I think you can play. I'm gonna try to bring it into our program to help us out. We've been lucky. Actually, our leading scorer last year was a high school kid, was a freshman for us. Guy came straight out of high school, led us in scoring. But that's kind of not normal nowadays. Everybody wanted to get older and stay older is kind of the cliche. But I want dudes that can play. I've coached Division I basketball for 20 years. And I understand sometimes just because you went to a Division I school don't mean that you're a good basketball player. There's some bad basketball players sitting on those benches. So I try not to get caught off in the levels. We don't talk about the levels here. I'm a basketball coach. I'm not a Division II coach. I'm not a Division III. I'm a basketball coach. And these guys are basketball players. And we really, really try to harp on that within our program. We don't care who you are, what you got on your jersey. Our plan going to be the same. We're going to plan on coming in and trying to beat you. And at the end of the day, like with our program being about growth, we want these guys, because most of them we recruit them to, they want to play after this. They want to have the opportunity to play after this. And they got to understand, they got to compete against everybody to get those opportunities, no matter what level. Not only the guys at the so-called above you level, but the guys below you too. You know, it's a really good NAIA and Division III players out there too, who's coming to try to get those same checks that you are. So we don't really talk about the levels much, because I know for a fact I did it. Like, there's some guys in those benches that can't play worth a darn. And there's a reason why they ain't playing. So I don't try to get caught up.
Yeah, they're right.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I have seen it. But y'all, like, you have to my old two eyes. You here for what?
Because we make mistakes, right? You know, recruiting is not like there's no science to it, right? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to hit on some. You're going to miss on some. You're going to have guys that you think going to be all-stars who are not going to play at all. And you're going to have some guys that you ain't going to think much of going to be really good players for you. So there's no real science to it. So the thing is to try to trust your eyes as best you can and put together the best roster that you can.
And talk about this, Coach Gray. No client out for that. It's some great talent in that state, man. Talk about just high school basketball out there, man. I know very well Dominique Wilkins from the Hawks, man, from North Carolina. Bam Adebayo as well. Guys come out of that state. John Wall, different guys. But it's the talent in that state, man, and how basketball has evolved over the years.
Yeah, the Hoop State is special, man. Again, I've been blessed because I grew up here. I wasn't born here. I came to North Carolina when I was 11. But I've been a part of the Hoop State culture for 40 years now, so I got to see a ton of really, really good players. And a lot of people might not even know Dominique's from North Carolina. You know, most people, I think, affiliate him with Georgia. But from Michael Jordan to Brad Daugherty and some of these guys, John Wall and C.J. Leslie and Chris Paul and Steph Curry, it's always been really, really good players in here. And part of the trick for me, in my experiences, is I've really built a rep on trying to find the so-called hidden gems. The big cities are loaded with talent. Like you said, the Charlottes, the Raleigh, the Greensboros are loaded with talent. But what you'll find is some of these small towns are really talented. Like Bam is from a little town in eastern North Carolina that nobody probably even heard of. You know, you talk about the Kinston area where they had five or six, maybe even more NBA players come out of a little town in Kinston, North Carolina. So there's a ton of players in some of these small towns throughout the state as well.
Hey, Coach Gray, for you, I know what you're looking for on the court, but off the court, we're trying to find it in a young man off the court, or his intangibles, his character-wise, that fits into your program, into your vision for what you see as being an ECSU Viking.
Now, the biggest thing to me is, it may sound corny, but I want good people around me. I talk a lot to our guys about my energy. I'm real careful about who I allow in my personal space. I want dudes that bring good energy. You don't always have the positive. You're going to have good days and bad days, but if you start messing with my energy, I can't be around you. I'm not big on having the 8,000 rules. The more rules you have, the more you got to enforce those rules. So what we do, we kind of establish our core with our guys. We give them three things, man. Go to class. Part of your deal is you got to go to class because my job is to help you get a degree and learn habits. Who's going to lead you after this. So you have to go to class. You're going to be part of our program. That's the number one thing. And we provide you an opportunity. Only 7% of high school players get to move on to play in college at any level, not Division I, Division II, NAIA, Division III, everything. That's included. 7% of high school guys get to go on and play in college. So with that comes the responsibility, you know, right? So we give you a chance to go to college. So you got to do your part, but make sure you get an education with it. The second thing we talk about is being respectful to women. I can't tolerate it. It's something personal to me. Like if you one of those dudes like to hit on girls or beat on girls, or be disrespectful to women, I'm not going to have you around me. And that's for me personally and for this university, because we talked about a little while ago, our chancellor is actually a woman. And a lot of our leadership on our campus is women. So if you're one of those guys who are disrespectful towards women, you're not going to do well here. And that's just the reality of our university, because we have so many women that's at the top seats of our program. And the last thing is that don't break the law. The law is different in different states. With this team, we was talking about as a group yesterday, I think I got guys from 10 different states on our roster. And the law in one state is different from the law in another one. I'm not going to be on the news because you do something silly. If you're unsure what the law is, ask somebody who's from here. And those are kind of the rules to our program. So if you can follow those three things, you're going to be okay. But if you start messing with my energy, you're not going to class, I'm not going to play you. I'm not going to play you at all because I'm not going to be able to trust you. If I can't trust you to go to class, how am I going to be able to trust you the last 5 seconds of a game I need to win to do the right thing? That makes sense to you? So that's
how it does.
And we got, so we try to, we just, our whole thing, just try to get really good people, really good people. And through that process, I really try to, I won't take somebody that I haven't, if I didn't know the guy directly, I won't take somebody, I don't know their people around them. Cause I want to know about the character. I'll try to use people that I trust on the inside who want to tell me the truth. Cause nobody's perfect, right? We all have our demons. We all have our flaws. And so I'm not expecting perfect people, but I want to know what demons I'm chasing, what demons I need to help them with. And
Coach, you said something that hit me home, because I tell people around me, don't zap my energy. Don't kill my vibe, please. Because I'm a high energy guy, man. I'm a positive guy, man. And I don't do well with negativity around me. So if you got that negativity, I don't need you around just me, because I'm trying to promote something different. I'm trying to be positive and, you know, fight the good fight the way I got to fight it. You know, because being an independent black dude in the media ain't easy. But I got something else on my head. But I don't need you to bring me down anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They used to be the black man, period. You know, yeah. So, you know, so say, I feel you. And that's my thing. You can't mess my energy, man. Like, I'm not going to. Because like you, I'm a positive thinking dude. Ever since I stepped foot on campus to our team, we talked about winning the whole thing. And when I first got here, they kind of looked at me, you know, like, win the whole thing. What? Like, win the national championship. That's the goal. Like, if they're going to keep scoring, we're going to try to win the whole freaking thing. And that's the way we say it within our program. And did we accomplish that last year? No. But that ain't going to change our goal again this year. We're going to try to win every freaking game. We're going to try to win the whole thing. That's the plan. Now, is it going to work out that way? Nobody knows. But that's what we're shooting for every time we go out there.
And you know what? Good about the NCAA too, man. You all have some heck of a road, places to go play it. You have to be tough. You have to band the vibe. You know, that's the one thing about being a Tennessee State that I missed, that we didn't get the experience on the road per se, because I'm like, y'all some lames. But see how NCAA, then see you experience up and down the coast there, man, where you play at Virginia, the Carolinas, man. So talk about that, man, and how you tough playing that league and win on the road in NCAA.
Man, this league is unbelievable. It's unbelievably tough. And I know every coach in the country going to say that about their league. But when I took over this program last year, when I got in the league, every returning coach in the league had won the league before. So all those dudes has won championships prior to that year. Everyone that returned has won a championship before. Of the four new guys, is myself, Chucky Brown at St. Augs, Breon Dunlap down at Claflin, and Coach Armstrong up at Lincoln. of those three guys, Coach Dunlap has won championships up at Harris Stowe. You know, Coach Brown was a really successful coach at, in the high school level and played at NC State and played in the NBA. And then Coach Armstrong was a very successful coach and actually coached in the championship game last year. So it's some dudes from the coaching ranks in this conference. So every day is like a chess match. You got to make sure you prepare for that. And beyond that, you talk about the atmosphere. And this is how I kind of sell it to our guys. Again, most of my experience, of course, is on the PWI side. And sometimes we're recruiting guys from the junior college and the transfer markets. And the way I explain it to them, you know, when you go to your game at, for example, at UNC Greensboro, I'll just speak it out, not bad, but at UNC Greensboro, across from the bench are the donors. So on the floor, across from the bench, that's the people that give money. That's the people that come pay their money for those nice, pretty seats. And to see out of the way, there ain't no donors sitting over there just want to be entertained. Those are your peers. So every night, the voices you hear on the court are your peers. And your peers know you. So they're going to be talking to you and talking about you in a different kind of way than you probably used to. But that also make it fun as a competitor, right? Like if you really, really a competitor, you kind of get off by that. You kind of get excited by that, the voices and you hear them. And like I remember my first year at Winston State. I coached at Winston State a few years ago. And one of our first plays, one of our dudes hit a three. And he was running back down the court. And the students was giving them five running down the court on the sideline. And it was like, what the devil was going on here? It was exciting. Like, oh, man, can you imagine playing in those kinds of environments where you got your people, your peers, that close to the floor all the time? But so I love it. I think it's some of the best environments in college basketball, some of the most competitive environments in college basketball. It gets me excited every time we know we're getting ready to play a game. And I think our guys feed off the energy as well. Because with the good come the bad as well. Your skin got to be a little thicker. Because, again, because you're going to hear some stuff you probably don't want to hear either, too. But that's part of it. And that's part of life, right? You got to learn to deal with that adversity.
Now, like, that's why I love the gym in South Blake. The Tennessee State, unfortunately, the crowd ain't on top of. So it was kind of big. We didn't have that luxury. They up in the bleachers and the band. So, it's like, you can't touch them. It's like, they can, you hear them, but you can't touch them. But I feel that's why I like. I wish we had a little bit different, like you all had inside of Blake, because I would love to be able to hit one of my corner threes and dab up with my homeboy.
I tell my friends, like if you've never been to a CIAA on CIAA game, two of those, if you get a chance to go, if you get a chance to see a CIAA game with two of those teams playing against each other, it's an unbelievable experience. Everybody, if you're a basketball person, you need to do it at least once.
Yes, and I hate to show I moved to Baltimore because my birthday week is the week of CIAA.
All right.
So I was up, I'll be in Charlotte having a blast my birthday week, you know. I'll take off my week from covering the NBA. I'll enjoy my birthday, and, you know, I was like, yeah. But Baltimore, a little tougher for me to get there now because of I got to be book a flight, and I can't just drive to my homeboy house on both.
Now, the city did a great job with it. I'll tell you what, Baltimore did a wonderful job with it. That was my first time experiencing last year. And like you, I'm a hoop state now. So I'm thinking, oh, man, it's left out of Charlotte. But the city of Baltimore did a great job with it last year. I was really impressed with the venue. The city seemed to embrace the tournament. I think it's going to grow. I think it's going to be a really, really good deal going forward up there.
Now, Coach, great for you, man. Let me ask you this, man. You know, leading a lot of young black males, man, I know. My dad's a coach. I'm a son of a coach. And, you know, Lee, how does it feel knowing you get to mold young black men, 18 to 24, have a lifetime relationship with these guys after you help them through that formative years of, you know, becoming a man, leaving the childhood, becoming a man? So how's that, man, knowing that, having that banner on you that you know, John, that you're helping these young men become better black men once they leave your university?
Yeah, That's what drove me into this profession, to be honest. I'm a teacher by nature. When I decided I wasn't good enough to be a pro, I wanted to teach. My ultimate goal at first was to go back home to my community where I was at, where a lot of black boys don't go to college, period, from down there. And when I was in college, when I decided what I wanted to do with myself, I wanted to teach and go back home and help pull some of the guys like me out of that community, give them a chance and them think that they could leave and go to college as well. So my background has always been a teacher. I always thought of myself as a teacher. Still do. I think of myself as a teacher, not as necessarily a basketball coach. And the same point, I have a mentoring spirit. I'm one of those people who always have people are attracted to me, to being around me. Some people say I tell great stories. I'm a little silly, a little goofy, but I've always had people that always wanted to be around me. So I always had a mentor in spirit. And once I got into the business, it was two things I realized really quick. First, I could change some of these dudes' life by getting them to school and telling them, giving them a chance to go to school. If it wasn't for sports, I probably wouldn't went to college. I'll tell you, more than likely, I wouldn't went to college. If it wasn't
same here.
So I respect that part of it. And I take that part very seriously when I'm recruiting. And then the second thing is I want to help those dudes prosper through life, because life is going to be hard, especially when you look like the way we do. You got so much stuff coming at you, so many things coming at you, so much information coming at you. And we got to help mentor these guys on how to manage it in the right way. I always said before I became a head coach, I'm probably the only coach in the country who's at that point never been a head coach at this level that have a coaching tree. I have right now, even still, I have current Division I head coaches who call me asking for advice on some things going on with the staff, with their players, which is kind of wild because I haven't never been a head coach at that level. But I've always tried to grab young guys. I always try to grab young coaches and grab dudes that played. And I tell them, right, like, man, you need to think about getting the coaching. I think you got a good spirit for it. Because that's what happened to me. Somebody said them words to me, and that's what took me to college. So I'll take that part of it extremely serious. The teaching part and the mentoring part is what it's all about. Because you want those calls. Like, I get so doggone excited when these guys call me. Hey, coach, I got two jobs on the table. Which one should I take? Coach, I got my second child on the way. Can you come down? And, oh, I'm getting married this summer. Would you come to the wedding? That's stuff that gets me so excited. And seeing some of these guys grow. When I took my this is my first head coaching job. And one of my staff members, one of my assistants, actually I recruited when I was at Western Carolina. This would have been 2007, 2008. And I never remember even having this conversation with him, but he remembered it. And I told him, like, before you leave here, you're gonna have a chance to be player of the year in the Southern Conference. And unfortunately for him, he was running around that league when Steph Curry was running around. So, but he did make all league a couple of times, first team all league, scored 2,000 points, had a good career. And I just noticed how much he loved ball. And I told him, when I get me a job, I'm going to hire you. Now, I didn't think it was going to take 15 years from that point, but sure enough, I wanted to get this position at Elizabeth City, and I called him and I helped him get into the business. And that makes me smile watching him grow now as a coach and gaining experience, and hopefully I changed his life in that way as well.
No doubt, man. I tell you what, you know, being a son of a coach, man, so I feel it, understand it, because I know I'm taking my pops to different baby showers, different big grand openings and stuff like that. They hit him up on Father's Day. I see it all from my father. So, yeah, I exactly know what you mean. And you know what? You know, my dad said I should coach. I'm like, Dad, I'll be disbarred from coaching with the mouth I have off the air.
I got a dirty mouth too now, but I try. I try not to show off my kids. And I had some really good mentors and growing up. And one of my favorites is a guy named Larry Hunter at Western Carolina. And I was coaching against him one day. Of course, I was his top assistant at the time. And we was coaching against another school. And the opposing coach was running up and down the sideline screaming. You know, screaming at the ref, screaming at his kids, screaming, pass the ball, shoot the ball, do this, do that, do that. And coach just tapped me one day on the leg. He's like, you see that, coach? I said, what you mean? He's like, coach, if I show you a coach doing all that running around telling the kids what to do, I'll show you a coach that have bad practice plans. And I never thought about it that way. He's like, if you got to do all that coaching during the game, what the hell are you doing in practice? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, like, a lot of times the guys that do all that gyrating and stuff like that, and I know it's all personality-based too, right? But usually, if you got to do all that coaching during the game, you ain't do something's wrong with your practices. So you need to work on what you communicate with your guys in practice. And so my thing is, I ain't going to show these guys up. We get after them in practice, try to teach them the right spots. But then the games, they got to be able to play. They got to make their own decisions. But that came from one of my mentors, Larry Hunter. So I try not. I'm not going to show them up. I'm not going to scream at them and curse at them and stuff like that. I'll pull you out. If you making that mess up too much, I'm just going to take you out of the game. I ain't going to put you in there. I'm not about to have a heart attack messing with you.
No doubt. I know if I had to try to teach you some multiple times. That's one of my pet peeves, Coach Gray. If I tell you, this is my entrance to this, I done told you twice. That's one of my pet peeves, is repeating myself. So I know, I said, Dad, I know myself. I ain't got the patience. I know if I tell you something multiple times, 34 times, I'm going to start saying the wrong thing. It ain't for me. I know myself. I said, the radio, I don't lose no game on the radio. I lose no games here. I just have a good time.
Yes, sir.
Now, Coach Gray, I've got one more for you, Coach Gray.
Yes,
when you're not coaching hard, man, and helping these young men live Mississippi State, how do you like decompress and kind of get away from the game and just enjoy life when you're not in this grind every day of this industry, man?
Man, that's my biggest flaw as a person. This is my wife and I. We don't have any children. It's my wife and I. And I've gotten better at when I'm not doing this and making sure I'm paying my wife some attention, right? Because she's been a trooper. She's been with me from the very beginning of me in this profession. I was actually a middle school coach at the beginning, and she was with me as a student when I was at Fayetteville State. So she actually got to watch me grow. And I moved all over the state of North Carolina, from Wilmington to Cullowhee to Boiling Springs to Shelby, all over the place. And one thing is I had to learn to pull away from the game a little bit and make sure I'm giving her time and respect, right? But other than that, I don't have any hobbies. I wish, like, Dev, I could find one. I tried my darndest to find one. This summer, I was proud of myself because I watched some of those shows that everybody talk about. I watched, like, BMF and Snowfall and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, I'm getting kind of cool. I'm learning the world. But to be honest, I don't think of what I do as a job. When I got free time, I'm doing something basketball related. And it's not like punishment. It's not like work to me. I like watching Synergy. So I like watching games on Synergy. I'll pull up. The other day, I was watching the Lithuanian national team offense. And I just like to watch the game and study the game. And so I don't even see this work. That's my hobby is doing that stuff. I like watching how different people play ball screens. I like watching how different people get into actions. And I get on and watch YouTubes of kids. Everybody who sent me a video for the most part, I watch them. Which is kind of odd. Every Instagram box, inbox I get, every email I get, I watch them all. And now some of them I know I'm not going to take, but I just enjoy doing that. And I could get away from the business sometimes and by even watching those videos. And then I watch a lot of NBA. And I know that's my side kind of to your question because it's still basketball related. But to me, NBA basketball is totally different from the college game, right?
Oh, it is, definitely. Around every day, it is.
So I could watch an NBA game and enjoy it because I'm not trying to coach it. Like I catch myself when I watch a college game. So hey man, I would do this, I would have done that. When I watch an NBA, I'm just watching it strictly as a fan. I want to see some dude go for 80. You know, like I want to see somebody go crazy. And so I could watch the NBA game as a fan. So that's what I do as well.
Now, Coach, it's gonna sound real childish to me, but I'm telling you what I do. I go to the arcade and play video games. I go to the batting cage. Or I go bowling to get it out of my system. Because, you know, sometimes when the Hawks lose, man, it goes home with me, and it shouldn't, but it does. I'm not playing, but it goes home with me, you know?
Yes, sir.
I'm serving the team every day, so, like, I'm immersed, right? So, go play some video games in round one, you know, go to the batting cage, go bowling, man, blow some steam after a tough loss, man. Especially if we're in Atlanta at home, on the road a little harder. But if I'm at home, that's why I go. That's why I do off the stage, brother.
Yes, that's a good thing about being a fan. See, I'm a terrible fan. And some of my friends laugh at me. I can't be a fan for a team that lose. If I'm I'm going to be a fan. I want to be a fan of a winner. So people always ask, who's your team? Like, I don't have a team. Like I'm a Kobe guy. I was a Kobe fan. So when Kobe was playing, it used to break my heart every offseason, especially down the stretch. Like, they got, oh, man, it's going to be the year. They're going to get Kobe some help. And they wind up finishing eighth. So I'll jump ship on you. Now, if you're going to be a bad organization, I'll jump ship. Like, I don't have no problem doing that. So I tip my hat to guys like you who stayed strong with your teams because I'm not going to hang in there with you. Like,
I've been all Atlanta my whole life. I've seen the good, bad, ugly of Atlanta sports, unfortunately.
They tell me, you can't jump around. It's like, hey, I'm a fan. I could be a fan. Like, I'm not about to full pull for no bad team. I give them a couple of years, and I'm going to go.
Now, Coach, I'm going to tell you. My worst experience as a fan and as a worker was the Super Bowl. I was in Houston for the Super Bowl when the Falcons blew it.
Yes, sir.
That was the worst trip back to Atlanta ever. The quietest trip ever. Because Super Bowl, you don't leave right away.
Yes, sir.
You stay overnight. So you got to endure that overnight, then get on the bus that Monday morning and fly to Atlanta. It was the worst trip ever. I dreamed about that game for weeks.
Oh, man.
It was a struggle, Coach. And I'm over it now, but back then in the 17, man, it was rough on me.
Yeah, that's what I thought, man. I'm not going to, again, my energy, right? I can't pull for the bad team. I can't do it.
Yes, sir. But close to great, man. I'll tell you what, man. It was fun to get you on the show finally, man. It was fun to chat with you, my brother. Like I said, if you have anything need from me, man, let me know, man. I'm in your corner, my brother. And so, you know, you got my number there. Anything you need, just hit me up, brother. I got you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime, Coach, it was fun, man.
All right, thank you.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BELIEVE. BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show. Twitter at Boss Man Show and Facebook Boss Man Show. It's the Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to the Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.